et cetera. Look what the rain and the wind brought drove in here. Good, thank goodness.
That's what I said, Sean.
Yep.
Good evening, everybody. The Borough of Seabright, in compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, has provided the date, time, and location of this meeting to at least two designated newspapers, published the same in the Asbury Park Press, the official newspaper, filed it with the clerk, and posted notice on the bulletin board in the borough offices. I'll do the roll call to save you.
Sure.
Mr. Cashmore, not here. Cunningham here. DiGiulio, not here. DeSeo.
Yes.
Lexstein.
Here.
Long. Schwartz, not. Smith, Mr. Smith is here. Mr. Duffy and McGinley. Moving on to resolution for Thomas Highland.
It's actually, even though she keeps listing it in the agenda as Thomas Highland, if you remember, which caused the problem, it's Sunset River Management LLC.
I'll move that. I'll move that resolution.
Okay. Cunningham, can't vote. DiGiulio, not here. DeSeo.
Yes.
Lexstein.
Yes.
Smith.
I can't vote.
Right, you can't vote. Just Duffy and McGinley.
Okay. McGinley.
Yes.
And Duffy.
And Duffy. Oh, I missed the last line. Sorry.
The highlighted people can't.
Michael Smith, 620 Ocean Avenue, block. Oh, block 24, lot 47.
This was my error. 500 square foot accessory building is permitted. They were requesting 669, and my resolution just said they were requesting 500, which wouldn't have made sense because they wouldn't need a variance. So I changed it because the garage structure that they were requesting was 669 square feet. It was also located in front of the principal structure.
I'm okay on that.
I think
yes.
I'll make a motion. I'll second.
Okay. DeSeo.
Yes.
Lexstein.
Yeah.
I think that.
You can vote.
I can vote.
Yeah.
Was I here for it?
And Smith. Yeah, this is from a while ago.
Oh, okay.
April.
Cunningham. Yes. Smith.
Yes.
Duffy. McGinley. The Edward T. Higgins, 27 Center Street.
I'll move that resolution.
Second?
Second.
Okay. DeSeo.
Yes.
Lexstein.
Yes.
Schwartz, not here. Not here. Smith.
Yes.
Duffy.
Yes.
And McGinley.
Yes.
Okay, on to.
I'm going to step down, Mr. Chairman, because of the variance.
Let the record show it's a D variance, and the Councilman Lexstein is stepping down. Seven new applications. All right, yeah, it's been a long day. Kim Ruane, 5 East New Street, 21.
To clarify that also, I think it's actually, what is the actual address? Two or five?
No, it's they live at 2 East Church, and the property subject is 5 East New.
5 East New. It's block 21, lot 2.01.
Because on Dave Otis, it says 2 East Street.
East. That's where she's. East
New.
This is East New. This is 5 East New Street on this one.
Dave Otis says 2.
Maybe Mr. Hirsch will straighten this out on this.
Okay. What's the actual address? The actual address.
East New Street.
East New Street. Let the record show that it's Kim Ruane, 5 East New Street, block 21, lot 2.01.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening. I'm Jay Hirsch representing the applicant. This is a application for a piece of property that previously had a two-family home destroyed by Sandy. We're going to give you a little background of the property from the applicant. Closing the bill, a two-family
I'm listening.
We're going to have Coach Bruce Ruane, party interest, his sister, to give a little history of the property, what it was before.
That was good.
How the family used it. What their plans are for the, new structure, which is proposed as a residence, you know, development application for if you want to build yourself. We have our engineer, will be testifying about the, site plan that we submitted, Kevin Shelley, and our panel, the entrepreneur.
Okay.
With that, I'd like to,
Well, let me just, yeah, I've reviewed the jurisdictional packet. All is in good order. Board can take jurisdiction. I've marked the jurisdictional packet, the notices, mailings, et cetera, as A1. I've marked as A2 the plot plan prepared by Mid-Atlantic Engineering dated 5/1/17 as A2, did I say? A3 are the architectural plans by Signature Building Systems dated 12/9/16, revised to 6/9/17. And A4 is the Dave Hoder report dated 10/20/17.
Okay.
I didn't. I should have.
He had a couple of scenarios on the sidewalk.
Yeah, just one. You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give is the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Can you state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Joseph Ruane, R-U-A-N-E.
And your relationship to the applicant?
All right, Joe, I'd like to just give the board a little history about the problem. All right, first of all, assuming this application was approved, what is the intent in terms of how this property will be used?
So originally, it was my parents' property prior. And their intent was for them to pass it down to myself and myself, so our families can live there together combined. So that our goal is to build a family house in one building that we can continue to live there and keep the blood down as well as the road.
Now, as you indicated, your family owned this property for some time.
Yeah, they purchased the lot in the early 80s, 81, 82, if I'm not mistaken.
All right. And prior to Sandy, what was on the lot?
There was a two-family house. My family was living downstairs. And kind of upstairs at that time. My mother had just passed away shortly before her family. At that time, after her husband passed away a couple of years ago, she moved to the 2 East Church Street property.
Guys aren't making it easy.
She'll be moving into the 5 East New Street property. That's where it is.
Okay. All right. And the you retained Mr. Shelley to prepare the company to prepare the plot plan before this year's system.
That's correct, yes.
And the proposed structure, is that a modular construction?
It's going to be a modular home on top of the pile foundation, which will be enclosed. That's correct, enclosed. All right.
Yeah. And the, then we have the the board, of course, has the architect.
Yeah, we marked A3 as the architectural plans. Everybody has those board, right? Small.
All right, I just want you, if you would, just run the board through your, even though they have this, because you did it, okay. We'll make the record. So I want you to run the board through the proposed floor plan layout of the site, all right? So let me just.
And as you're doing that, I just want to maybe clarify, because not only was the address a bit confusing, but it's a, how many stories in this proposed house?
It's the piling, foundation, garage, and foyer entrance. And count that as a floor story with the three living floors above, two and a half living floors above.
Okay, and two-family home, right?
Two and a half, correct?
Two families.
Two and a half.
Two and a half stories.
Let's go back, you said three-family, two and a half.
No, two-family.
No, no.
Two-family.
Let's back up one step before that. Floors going up, two and a half, correct? Isn't that what you just said?
Yeah, I believe it's two and a half, I think that's the way it's qualified as.
That should be clarified, yeah, but.
There'd be, obviously, the garage space, as he indicated, that living space. The garage is not considered a story under the ordinance.
Correct.
Just so we're clear on this. All right, so, the board said the elevations. But I want you to go through the, how the two units are laid out. You're familiar with.
Yeah.
Layout, you worked with the modular company in terms of coming up with this plan, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So why don't you explain the board what the intent is of the layout?
Okay. Well, our intent originally was to incorporate sustainability with piling foundation. They tried to demolish our piece of New Street House at the borough's request. Said he never tore down a house on pilings, concrete foundation house. We were washed under as the seawall broke against the street and stone mine house tipped forward. So we're going pilings, which I feel is the best bang for my buck, if you would. We're going to have a common door entry. It'll be wide enough. We're going to have an elevator downstairs. It'll be a common foyer leading into separate foyers. We want an elevator because we want handicap accessible. I want to be able to live there till we die, and we want peasants or children to suffer. Doors are wide enough to allow that. And we'll have a stairwell behind the, a separate stairwell for each unit behind the elevator shaft, garage space on the side. As you go up the stairs, on my sister's side, which is going to be the easterly portion of the house, she's got the reverse floor plan where the bedrooms are on that level. It'll be the first level above the garage. And then her living space will be above that, is the second floor with the open space on the third, second and a half, the way we're terminating, right? On the westerly side, which should be my family's side, you'll walk upstairs from the foyer into the living room kitchen. And then above that is a, the two bedrooms, and then we'll put a bedroom on the second and a half floor, on the attic space floor. And that's about what we're going to do. We're going to have two decks across the front, one on each of the levels. And we propose a small deck at the back of the attic space floor, pointing to the north, one on each side.
And is the architect here? I just want, somebody's going to talk about the number of floors, right? Because I don't want to hold him to it because he's not the professional on that. Because I think under our ordinance is three stories, but I just want to.
I think.
Which is permitted, but I just want to get it right.
I'm going to address that.
Right, that's.
You have the definition of no more than 2 feet.
Right. So I just.
On the attic.
Right, you're, no offense to you, I don't think you're the guy that can define it, right, exactly, so that's fine.
Technically, you're right. It's going to be a third floor to the back.
Correct, right, yes.
It's not the 50% of the floor below, you have a different definition.
Right.
The total would be three bedrooms per unit at that point. One of the issues we bumped up against is my mom's health family, and the house that was there, there was no facility for live-in care as a result of nursing home. And if you live in a nursing home, dance, it's ridiculously expensive and horrific. So we want to avoid that if possible. I want the opportunity to buy my own house and down the road from my family.
So the proposed is three bedrooms.
That's about it.
With the third floor bedroom that we just.
Correct.
Okay. Yes. Now, there was one question about the rear yard setback that we have. And we're going to have experts talk about the layout. But the there's sort of a bump out in the middle, about 14, 15 feet. When I say the middle, of the rear portion of the house. And that's the portion that creates the setback variance. The vast majority of the rear of the house meets the setback requirement. What is the purpose of that? What is in that area?
We're going to put the stairs for each unit up in that area. So we'll go across and back, and then we push back a couple of feet out of the main body of the house to allow for the space for the elevator, pushes the whole, shifts the back a little bit.
Okay. All right.
Another speed, same space.
Okay. All right, fine, sir. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Now, anybody have a question of the witness? Well, I have a second. Let me let the record show that Mr. Nott has joined us as a member of the board. Thank you.
All right, I'll call the next witness, Shelley.
You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give is the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Can you state your name and then spell your last name, please?
Kevin Shelley, S-H-E-L-L-Y. I'm a licensed engineer with, in the state of New Jersey, with Mid-Atlantic Engineering.
And you've testified before boards such as this before?
Yes, I have.
Without any objection from our board members, I will accept your testimony.
Thank you, Chairman. All right, Mr. Shelley. I'd like you to take the board, if you would, through the, through the site, how it's, what's there now, from the vacant lot to the layout that we're not supposed to.
I prepared an aerial exhibit of the property and surrounding properties. What would I mark that in here as exhibit?
A5. And it's an aerial, are you saying?
Aerial exhibit of the property and some surrounding properties as well. The subject property is located at 5 East New Street. It is approximately 54 feet wide by 67 feet deep. The property is not square or rectangular, it's kind of skewed, so the dimensions are a little odd, but it's about 54 by 67. The property is currently vacant. It was previously occupied by a two-family dwelling that was destroyed in Sandy. As you can see from the exhibit here, this property right here, which is a bold outline, shows what the house used to look like. It was up right on the front yard setback, right up against the road, which is common for the other residential properties in this area. The properties which I've shaded in orange on this plan are other residential properties which are within this zone. The site is bound to the east by a two-family dwelling, to the north by multiple other residential dwellings, and to the west by a bank. The applicant's proposing to construct a new three-story over parking two-family dwelling. The building will have a 1,503 square foot footprint and a 455 square foot two-story deck on the front. I have the plot plan, which was submitted to the board, shown here. As you can see, the property, the building takes up, like I said, it's about a 1,500 square foot footprint, and then there's a two-story deck in the front of the property. We are here asking for several variants.
There's a deck on each floor?
Yeah, so it goes across the entire frontage of the building. It's a 10-foot deck.
On each floor?
On each floor, so it's a two-tier deck.
It's not a, okay.
Two-tier.
Yes, not a two-story. Exactly.
But they also have decks on the back.
Yeah.
Small decks on. You did it right? Small decks on the back, or a small?
They don't project the outside. So there is now.
Okay.
The first variance that we are asking for is a use variance. The applicant is proposing a residential use on the ground floor, which is not permitted in the E1 zone. As I stated previously, this property was occupied by a two-family dwelling, which had a residential use on the ground floor. We are asking for the same use variance to maintain the prior use of the property. I believe that building had existed here since the 1920s, so we don't feel that the use variance that we are requesting is changing anything within the neighborhood. Our planner will go into further detail providing the required criteria for the use variance, but I just wanted to let you know the history about why we're requesting the variance. The next variance which we will be requesting is for a minimum front yard setback. It's 25 feet requirement. And we are asking for a variance to permit to construct the building, the front of the house at 20 feet with the deck being 20 foot setback with the raised deck. It appears that all Most, if not all, of the other 14 residential properties within the two blocks of this lot all have various types of setback relief. Almost all of these buildings are right on top of the streets with little to no front yard setback. With the way our building lays out, with the uses, the habitable space above the ground floor, and the open two-tier deck, we have the building is set back 20 feet to provide space for ample parking in the front yard on the property without extending out the right-of-way or out taking up space in the street. So we have enough room as required by the ordinance to provide an outdoor or an outside parking space as well as a garage parking space for each of these units.
So how many cars fit in the garage? One?
What?
One each?
One on each. So each unit will have one garage space and one driveway space that are completely on the property.
And you were saying that you're 20 feet to the building, but the decks are 10 feet, right?
Yes.
So your front yard setback variance that you're looking for is 10 feet?
10 feet, yes, to the deck. The reason you'd be high.
This is great for that neighborhood.
Right. Yeah.
Placing the building at 20 feet does get you that space.
Yeah. I just want to make the variance clear.
Yes. So 10 feet front yard setback is what we're
doing. Yep.
Yeah, but in a B1 zone, there is no front yard setback, is there? It says zero.
It's 25 feet.
Yeah, B1 is 25.
Oh, I see. On the west, it's zero. On the east, it's 25.
Right.
Okay.
It's zero.
Okay, I see that.
The other setback which we are requesting is...
Hold on, sorry. Then if you're going to... If they're going to utilize a legal parking space in the setback, they'll need to turn this to that also.
It's also, yeah, it's parking in the front yard, so I already read that.
Okay. The final variance we're requesting is for the minimum rear yard setback. The zoning requires 15 feet, and we are proposing 12.6. The letter from the Odors had mentioned 12.7. There was an error in the calculation. It's 12.6 feet is what we're requesting for the rear yard setback. And as the applicant and Mr. Hirsch had testified earlier, the rear yard setback is for a 3-foot bump out in the back of the building, which is to provide the stairs needed to get up to the floors above. There is no habitable space which would be approaching the setback, strictly for the stairs to get up to the floors above.
They are interior stairs, correct?
Yes, they're interior stairs.
So then the area that would be the setback area is...
The 14.8 feet long section of the house, which would approach to the setback area. Total width of the house is 45 and a half. Okay. So this is roughly a third of the overall length of the building has a 3-foot bump out, which slightly encroaches into the rear yard.
And if let me just look to the back page there. So on your third, where's your garage? Okay, on the, it says page 2A on your plan.
The architectural plan?
Yep. Okay, so you have the, I see the bump out in the stairs. Those are in the center portion of the home, right? And the garages are on either side of them? So the stairs aren't interfering with the garage or the use of the garage at all?
The garage is about 32 feet deep, which is more than enough space for a parking or any type of vehicle, plus an additional room.
Storage.
There we go.
Storage. Everyone's storage. One of the final comments about the rear yard setback.
Probably doesn't meet. Oh, well, it's the steps.
All of these residential properties directly around this property all have issues with rear yard setbacks. All of the properties directly behind this subject lot. Not good. Keep talking.
Yeah, we're good.
Well, now what? Well, now our recording device says I'm guessing stopped. Is that right?
It's still working.
No, it's still working.
Still working. Okay, let's go.
Good.
Oh, it's on the battery.
There we go.
Like I was saying, all of the residential properties back behind our subject lot all have
dwellings that encroach into their rear yards. We are not asking for any double rear yards, like beyond their small bump lot, because it will contain the necessary stairs to access the water source.
So the majority of the rear yard is within the conforming setback, and that little bump out for the steps is not.
Again, there's no applicable space for that bump out, nothing approaching the street stairs. Finally, I received the review letter from Board of Associates.
Yes.
Dated October 20th. We reviewed the letter, have no issues complying with general comments. I just wanted to provide the following exception. Comment number four had requested a roof drainage recharge system. Due to the anticipated high groundwater table on this property, we don't believe that a roof recharge system is feasible. The property will be entirely finished with clean stone, so that any roof runoff that comes down will discharge onto the stone. There will be drainage trails around the front yard so that we're not impacting any neighbors. But with the groundwater table, we don't think it's possible to provide any type of recharge system.
So the swale go around to the front yard into the street?
Correct.
And your testimony is going to be that the swales will prevent any runoff to the neighboring properties?
Correct.
And you'll just confirm that with Mr. Hoder with your, because he's required. Let me just see.
That's his comment number two, actually.
Yeah, right.
Let's say with a prop interview.
That's it. Okay. So you'll meet number two and you'll meet that. Okay.
And his sidewalk issue was acceptable?
We'll meet number one and replacing the curb along the frontage and the sidewalk will be blocked by that.
That's always his biggest issue, just so you
know. We have no issues complying with the comments.
Okay.
You know what? What he's been asking in the past really isn't as dramatic as you may think it is. It is what he was asking for in the past, because I've built many houses in the town, was to have the leaders go into a pipe that just runs parallel along the property line. That's a perforated pipe in stone. And at the leader point where it enters, it has an overflow. So once that can't take any more water, it does come out on the property. So it's not as dramatic as you're thinking it is.
That's the type of cell that I would design.
Yeah.
If your groundwater is anything.
Well, no, this is actually a high part of the Seabright, believe it or not.
Two houses over from the US, believe it or not, that way. There is the elevation on the property.
It is.
That's the highest point in town.
Yeah.
Church Street is.
I don't think it's too dramatic.
If our groundwater is high and we can't provide it, that would be my.
Well, like I said, it's usually just.
If we can do it with appropriate pipe and stone.
Yeah, that's.
We don't have.
That's all he's been asking for. And it's worked to a certain degree. It's absorbed some of the water and what it can, it comes out over the top anyway on an overflow.
We dig a hole and it's 2 feet down. My opinion, there is no feasible option for recharge. But if not, then we will provide him to his satisfaction.
Okay. I think any water being people off the street is a plus. On the street.
Well, he's testified that he's not going to increase any runoff from the site with his swale system.
Well, I'm not directing any type of runoff to any of the neighboring properties. We are swaling it to create a positive drainage path from our property to the front.
To the street.
Okay. His comment was regarding the roof runoff,
right,
which if we can, we will provide some type of system, but if the groundwater table is high out here, then.
Okay, so I have to write yourself.
Depends what the tide is.
Yeah, your groundwater table permit allows.
We will provide a.
We'll provide.
Recharge
system to satisfaction of the board engineer. Okay.
That's all that I have.
So, yeah.
Any questions from the board members? Anyone in the public have a question about the witness's testimony?
Strictly on the audience.
Well, good idea.
You're lucky.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Our last witness will be Mark Kennard, a planner.
Good evening.
He's solemnly swear a testimony you're about to give is truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Just state your name and spell your last name for it.
My name is Art Bernard, B-E-R-N-A-R-D.
Professor and planner, you've been licensed in the state of New Jersey for since Hector was a pup. And you've testified before this and many other
this boards. This and many other boards before, without any objection from our board members. I don't see any. We'll certainly accept your credentials again.
As long as we have power, we'll
and, all right.
Art.
But that ought to give you impetus to get Art right in there.
we don't need your background. You've been accepted, so please go into your analysis of the, at least initially, the key variance aspect of this case in terms of the board you had your, what you were doing in preparation for your testimony, what you did in terms of the seeing the site, reviewing the ordinances, etc.
Sure. Well, in preparing for my testimony tonight, I reviewed your master plan, the 2017 master plan and zoning ordinance, and I reviewed the applicant's plan for the property, the municipal land use law, and I conducted a site visit of the subject property. You've heard, as you know, we're here for D1 variance, which was a two-family structure was destroyed during Superstorm Sandy and the applicant's problem in terms of rebuilding the two-family home is that lies in the B1 zone, which doesn't permit a residential use unless the residential use is on top of the commercial use. And the applicant's not proposing commercial use on the first floor based on ground, in part because of the obvious flooding potential. The site itself has almost 55 feet of frontage on East New Street, and is almost 69 feet. It's a total of about 3,566 square feet. And with regards to the surrounding properties in the area, as you heard from our engineer, it's overwhelmingly residential with no commercial on the first floor. There's a bank just to the west of the subject property and two family structures just to the east of the property. So my role tonight in terms of the use variance is to give you the positive and the negative criteria to justify it. In terms of the positive criteria, typically it takes the form of demonstrating that the site is particularly suitable for the use. And I think this site is particularly suited for this use because it's surrounded by residential properties that are not above commercial uses. The adjacent property to the east is a two-family residence as is proposed here. It's my understanding that it's been another two-family structure that was approved across the street. I think the site is particularly suitable because historically it was developed as a two-family structure. And so I find that the proposed use is totally consistent and compatible with the surrounding land uses. And I also find that the site is not particularly suitable for commercial use because it's off of the main street and it's not really, doesn't have the visibility that commercial uses would demand. There are other special reasons for granting the variance. Your master plan advances various goals. Two of the goals, I think there are about seven goals on page 47 of your plan. Two of the goals relate to making the borough more resilient to coastal storms and flooding. The second one is very much the same way, to plan future development in a manner that minimizes risk from natural hazards. And clearly, an elevated space that minimizes, that takes people and property out of harm's way is certainly consistent with those master plan goals. I also find that the proposal is consistent with another recommendation of your master plan, and that is to allow standalone housing in this area consistent with your R3 standards. So with that background, I find that the proposal advances various purposes of the municipal land use law, including purpose A, which is to encourage the appropriate use of land, purpose E, which is to promote appropriate population densities, and purpose G, which is to provide sufficient space and for a variety of different uses, including a variety of residential uses. And when you read each of those three municipal land use law purposes from front to back, you get two main thoughts. One is to use land appropriately, and the other is some sort of public benefit. And with regards to the appropriate use of land, municipal land use law and the zoning part gives some direction as to what that should look like, and it says that the zoning should be consistent with the master plan, and that the zoning should be drawn with reasonable consideration to the character of the area. In this case, your most recent master plan is recommending to allow standalone residential uses on this property, and that the surrounding land uses in the area, the character of the area, is overwhelming residential without any stores on the ground floor. With regards to the public benefit of those goals and objectives, purposes of the municipal land use law, I think the benefits include replacing housing lost by Sandy and also bringing the downtown businesses to see the benefit by bringing customers closer to the downtown area. Clearly, this proposal also promotes purpose B of the municipal land use law to secure safety from flooding. The proposal elevates the habitable area and minimizes the risk to people and property. And the proposal also advances purpose M of the municipal land use law, which involves the private sector and public sector working together to reduce land development costs and use land more efficiently. Really, it's much more efficient in terms of cost and land to construct the two units in one structure rather than two. So that concludes my testimony on the positive criteria. But since this is a use variance, well, since it's a variance, I also have to deal with negative criteria. But since it's a use variance, not only do I have to deal with the impact on the public good and the impact on the zoning plan, but also I need to reconcile the omission of the use from the zoning plan. So going through them one at a time, in terms of the impact on the public good, I just don't see a substantial negative impact to the public good, because the use is consistent with use prior to Sandy. It's consistent with the use of density on East New Street. I think the proposal is much less intensive than most of the commercial uses that are permitted in the zone. There's traffic, there's parking, so it's going to have less of an impact on the neighbors. I think the proposal helps the public that lost housing during the storm, and it brings customers back to the downtown. And it's providing development consistent with your master plan to minimize the risks associated with future flood events. I find no substantial detriment to the zone plan. This is a very small part of the D1 zone, so it really doesn't have a significant impact on your zone plan. I think the proposal is consistent with the zone plan that's articulated in your master plan that would allow standalone housing in this zone. I need to reconcile the omissions of the use from the zone plan. I think I can do that in about four ways. First, if you accept the fact that the proposed use is particularly suitable for the site, I think that reconciles the omission from the zone plan. Second, the requirement of commercial uses on the bottom floor is one that precedes Sandy. Third, the board has completed a master plan and the planning board has recommended standalone residential use of this property. And fourth, the master plan recommends land use practices that will make the borough more resilient to coastal storms. Clearly, placing business services out of harm's way does that. Now, in addition to the use variance, I came here tonight, I was going to see variance. The first one was the front yard setback, where your ordinance requires 25 feet in the C1 zone, 20 feet is proposed for the building, 10 feet is proposed for those tier gaps. And then the rear yard setback is required to be 15 feet, and 12.6 feet is proposed, and it's proposed for less than a third of the building. In my opinion, both of those variances can and really should be approved based on the C2 criteria. And I'm sure the board knows that with the C2 variance, they're granted when the proposal advances purposes of the municipal land use law and the benefits of the proposal substantially outweigh the detriments associated with granting the relief. And the appellate division in a case called Pauling versus South Plainfield directed boards to, when they're weighing the benefits and the detriments, to consider the benefits of the entire proposal and not just the benefits of each variance. And the benefits of this proposal include replacing housing lost during Sandy, bringing residents back to the downtown. Another benefit is it provides development that will minimize damage during future flood events. Another benefit is it provides development that's consistent with past and existing residential development. With regard to the front yard setback, the proposed setback is greater than the setbacks of most of the homes on East New Street. The setback is deep enough to provide adequate parking without parking on the street. With regards to the rear yard setback, again, I find no substantial detriment. There's less than a third of the building that intrudes to the substantial setback area, and it only intrudes by 2.4 feet, which I don't find significant, especially because the area that intrudes is not livable area. It's spillways that are, I believe, adjacent to another non-livable area, a shed that's across it. The adjacent property. And I find that the benefit of the rear yard setback relief is it allows the applicant to build a beautiful home that's ADA compliant. You'll have room for the elevators on these stairs and that. I've already discussed the fact that the proposal advances various purposes of the municipal land use law, including purposes A and E and B and G. So I conclude that this proposal advances the purposes of the municipal land use law, and the benefits of the proposal substantially outweighs any detriments associated with granting the relief. And I hope the board sees fit to grant the relief.
Thank you. Any questions from the board members? If not, does anyone in the public have a question about the witness's testimony?
We're just going to add on to you, Mr. Bernard, the parking in the front setback, because we require the two spaces. One of yours is in that front setback. I'm just adding it for the record.
Yeah.
I think you already discussed those, so you don't need to go into them. There's no question.
Any board members have a question about that? Any discussion from the board members or a motion?
Did you open to the public
or?
Not.
Oh, I did. Yeah. Any discussion? We can open.
So. Well, you asked for a motion.
Well, I opened each thing. Is there anyone in the public that has a statement about this, any of the testimony or this application? Since there's no one in the public, is there any discussion from the board?
And for it, I'll just say it again that they've stipulated that if the groundwater table allows, they will provide the recharge system to the satisfaction of the board engineer. And they'll provide the plot plan as set forth in comment two of Mr. Hood. But the width?
Yeah, the width was
it is 54 feet.
I mean, that's the longest lot we've had before us for downtown.
Yeah, in this area.
For a two-family house, I think this, it's not overwhelming in size. It's nice on the property, the setbacks. I think it's a good improvement. It was an existing two-family there already. This is another two-family. It's not,
Is that
the experience has experienced changing the master plan.
I agree.
Very good, Mr. Duncan.
It's predominantly residential in that particular area, so the commercial use is still like much sensitive. So if anybody else doesn't have, I'll make a motion to approve this application.
And
with that condition on.
Yeah, with those additions, and just as Mr. Duffy was pointing out as to the, because it was D variance, that Mr. Bernard gave you the sections of both our master plan, as Mr. Duffy just pointed out, our master plan makes a recommendation that standalone as residential be permitted in this zone. And Mr. Bernard pointed out the various sections of the municipal land use law, which would apply to the requested application with both the positive and negative criteria. And with that.
And the second was?
Steve? No, not Bob. Right.
Bob? Okay. Mr. DeSayo?
Yes.
Mr. Knott?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Duffy?
Yes.
And Mr. McGinley?
Yes.
And I am a yes as well. Mr. Cunningham?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Best of luck. Is there any other business before the board this evening? I think we did everything at front.
Yep.
If not, do we have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.